It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Have you seen the movie Avatar? Grossed over $1 billion worldwide so far. Apparently the most amazing cutting-edge 3D technology that anyone has ever seen. Have you seen the movie? If so, what do you think about it? Or you say, you crazy? I wouldn't see a movie like that. I've heard it's full of pantheism and blasphemy and no way under the sun would I see a movie like that. I'd like to hear from you today. We're going to talk about Christian liberty. What does it mean to be free in Jesus? How far does that freedom go? Is it right for us to judge the freedom that someone has in the Lord? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me at drbrown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. It's actually an email I received today that got me focused on this, but I've been quite sure for many weeks now that this was going to be a subject that we take up on The Line of Fire, because I heard about this movie coming out. I'm not a moviegoer myself, but I heard about this movie coming out. James Cameron, famous director, and all the rave about the amount of money spent on this and the technology involved, etc. So I knew at a certain point the question would come up about Christians seeing the movie. And received this email today. I would like to know Dr. Brown's view on the following issue and what scriptures he would use to keep oneself from being confused as to the difference between freedom and sin. And there was a discussion between ministry students, some grads from our School of Ministry, the Brown's Revival School of Ministry, or Fire School of Ministry. Some grads were discussing it back and forth, some local pastors that I knew, one of our missionaries. So I thought, yeah, this is a good time to bring this up. Now, look, we're having a discussion between believers here. We're having a discussion between people who say Jesus is Lord and people who want to glorify the Lord and people who say we shouldn't be getting high or getting drunk or sleeping around, people who are praying and seeking to be witnesses. So we're not dealing with some wicked worldly person and some holy Christian. We're dealing with a discussion between believers here. And question is, several people thought watching the movie was feeding the flesh, that the movie was blasphemous, filled with profanity. Others said, stop being so religious, loosen up, stop judging. This is one of the most amazing things you could see. Jesus himself, we go see it. There's some real juicy comments I want to share with you on both sides of the issue. And then I want to get into specific scripture. What does the word say? What principles can we draw from this? I saw on Sound Reason, my friend Alex McFarland's a show that actually follows this on many stations, that they have a write-up about the movie. We've got Steve Noble on hold, who has the Call to Action broadcast here on the Truth Radio Network. So I'm gonna bring Steve in a moment. But for those that don't know about the movie, James Cameron was famous as the director of Titanic. More recently was involved in some controversy. And I mentioned the Titanic because I think that was the biggest grossing movie of all time. And he then was involved in controversy recently a couple years ago because he put out a documentary that alleged that the tomb of Jesus had been found with his bones in it, meaning he didn't rise from the dead. So he was at controversy. But the big controversy in this movie was the amount of money that was being spent and could it be justified? Well, it's obviously more than justified from a Hollywood perspective. Let me read a couple of comments and then I'm going to get Steve on the line. 866-34-TRUTH. Have you seen the movie? If so, would you recommend it to other Christians? Do you think it's something that believers should see, perhaps with caution, or do you think it's something edifying and glorifying to God, or would you say, hey, look, the word says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. You can't keep yourself unspotted from the world and wash this kind of trash. So some comments from folks who saw it, these are believers, it's really good. You will definitely enjoy it. Let me get to a more vivid one here. The movie, the colors are amazing. Avatar rocks. And yes, Jesus would watch Avatar because Jesus went to all the parties and even served wine at the parties. Jesus is way cooler than you think. Religion, I'll use the word, stinks. Jesus rocks. Find Jesus today. Go Avatar. Whoa. This is from a committed Christian. What do you think about that? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me jump right in because we've got Steve on the line. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling in. Always nice to hear from you. How you doing?
Good, Dr. Brown. How are you doing?
Great. Blessed. Thank you.
Well, here's an interesting take on it. I actually went to see it with a bunch of guys from my school class. And we do that occasionally, and I knew about the whole pantheism angle, and that is painfully obvious when you watch the movie. It's basically James Cameron's $300 million political statement. But visually, Dr. Brown, visually, the movie is stunning. It's unlike anything you've ever seen, and I found myself thinking and kind of mentally drifting off during the movie, and I thought, as unbelievable as this looks, and they have things like floating mountains, all kinds of stuff, as unbelievable as it looks, it's not going to be anywhere near as unbelievable as heaven is.
Oh, yeah.
and so that's where I found my mind going. And as you know, I've been a political activist for the last 5 years. And it's so easy to go down the road, let's boycott everything. I always challenge my friends and say, okay, what else are you going to stop buying? Because I can find something ungodly in virtually everything you spend money on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where the liberty comes in. I'm a mature Christian. There was nothing in there that made me stumble. I didn't feel bad that I was giving James Cameron a couple of my dollars, because when I came away from that thing, I thought of heaven. That's what it was a huge contrast between the ways of the world and the lies of the flesh and the devil, and what I have from Scripture about where I'll be with my Heavenly Father forever. So it's all about your perspective and what you choose to get out of it. You know, I have a problem with people that have nothing to do with it. I would just check
right.
People's, people just instantaneously, I'm going to boycott it, I'm not going, and you're a bad Christian if you go.
All right, well, so hang on. Let me jump in and ask one thing about the boycott question.
Yeah.
I guess I don't relate to the boycott issue here simply choosing not to go see a movie. In other words, every day of your life, you boycott pornography, but we don't think of it as boycotting pornography because we don't do that. I boycott prostitutes every day of my life.
Right.
But no one thinks of that because I boycott heroin, you know. I think of a boycott in terms of I'm not going to buy your product anymore because you're doing other sinful things. You know,
right.
I find out that particular company is funding sex trafficking in another country. In good conscience, I can't give them my business. But since this is not an essential, since there are hundreds and thousands of movies that come out, why would someone simply say, you know, I don't believe I should hear profanity. I don't believe I should pay money to go hear profanity. Why would you think of that as, quote, boycotting?
I wouldn't necessarily think of it as a boycott. I'm talking more about people's attitude and in the Christian realm, the evangelical world in America especially, where we have, you know, like I have good friends that are at American Family Association, and I really appreciate what they do.
Yep.
But where I think we struggle is where people know where the church comes down on things that anger us. They rarely know about the things that give us great joy.
Absolutely.
And where we'll hammer the culture about the movies it puts out, but we won't bother to tell them about Jesus. So it's all these conversations, Dr. Brown, always make me think of what am I doing about the plank in my own eye,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the speck in my brother's, and that's where I think we have to be really careful with how we.
Oh
are
yeah, absolutely. We can have a self-righteousness. We can major on one or two issues and allow, say, rampant, unjustified divorce, all kinds of gossip, pornography in our own homes, but we're going to get worked up over some other social issue. Yeah, there's all kinds of hypocrisy, double standard. I absolutely agree. Thank God for our friends at AFA, so that's not our issue, but we understand how these things can spread into culture and,
sure.
and how we can get one-sided. But let me press back to this. Do you have a personal issue with paying money for entertainment that uses GD type of expressions, that it uses profanity, etc.? Does that trouble you as a believer?
I would say yeah, it does, and I struggle with this myself because I have to. If that's where, praise the Lord, we have a Savior who loved us and died for us, despite the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I sit there and I can go hey, should I be doing any of these things? Should I live in this house? Should I buy this car? Should I spend money on these things at a grocery store when I could do with less and give away more?
Let me just jump in, just because we're up against a break here, Steve.
Sure.
I guess the money thing is less of it important to me than the question of why would I go, whether it's flipping on a TV for free, and knowingly subject myself to hearing unclean things and seeing unclean things. But hey, we're up against a break. I appreciate the call. God bless you, Steve. Thanks, man.
Great points. You too, brother. Thanks.
All right. Hey, Brenda in Gastonia, you're up next. I'm going to take some more calls. I'm going to read some more email comments and then get into the scriptures on this. Stay with us for a lively discussion today right here on the Line of Fire.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming away live from Denver, Colorado. I finish up my radio broadcast each day, get about an hour break, and then go over to the seminary and teach for 5 hours each night on Messianic Prophecy. I'll be doing the same kind of thing next week, God willing, in Charlotte at Southern Evangelical Seminary on Jewish apologetics. For those taking the class, look forward to seeing you. All right, we're talking about the movie Avatar, the movie that has now grossed more than $1 billion in just a few weeks worldwide. From what I understand, the most spectacular visual movie ever produced with this new 3D technology. The question is, should Christians see it? Are these the type of things that we should separate ourselves from because there is an ungodly worldview and pantheism and taking the name of the Lord in vain and some profanity? Or is that getting hung up in legalistic and religious? You've been asked those kind of questions. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. You can email me during the broadcast at drbrown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.com. Some Facebook comments by folks that, or from what I can see here, all these are grads from our ministry school. At least some of them are grads from our ministry school. One grad says this: I just saw the movie, it was awesome. The story was okay, but the movie was so visually amazing, and I don't see where there was any blasphemy. You guys are silly and taking things way too far. Seriously, live a little. And if swearing offends you that bad, you need to leave in a cave, because it's everywhere. Also, I think God would watch this movie. All those amazing colors just make me wonder how much more amazing heaven will be with all its colors. There aren't even words for. Sorry if this movie offends others as you, but I really saw nothing bad in it. Another grad replies, at least 10 S words, one slang term using male genitals, 5 hell words, 4 A words, 4 D words, 3 C words, on and on. Another grad writes this: the movie Avatar is full of blasphemy and Middle Eastern occult worship. Whoever thinks this movie is worth watching has the discernment of a small aquatic animal. We can always make comparisons and parallels in just about anything. This movie had no allegorical purpose. It was blatant in its spiritual perversion from beginning to end, listing all of the profanities in it. Those who say they enjoyed the movie did not even recognize the blasphemy that concerns me. It reveals a very dull awareness of the spirit. They cursed our Father over 8 times. How can a true Christian condone that? Is it up to us to draw lines like this, to judge others? Or if someone says, hey, I saw the movie and thought it was great, is it right for us to reply? 866-34-TRUTH. Brenda in Gastonia, what's your take?
Hi. I actually saw the movie with my sister, and I have to admit I feel much worse after hearing all those emails. now, that is in the movie. I didn't count all these incidents, so I don't know about all that. But what I wanted to comment to you was, the cinematography is incredible, and we were sort of oohing and aahing over it. And at one point, I turned to my sister in the movie, and I said, you know, we're going to do this when we get to heaven, but it's never going to stop. We're going to be awed by everything we see. And I just wanted to say that. The movie, it's a fantasy. I go to very few movies, and I was taken aback a little bit by the worship, that kind of thing, and because it's there. I mean, you can't deny it. And there's this not terribly subtle environmental thing that comes through, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow,
let me just ask you this. And I appreciate you calling in and sharing this. I'm sure many Christians saw that movie and many other movies and some that are far more blatant. As I read some of those things, you said you feel worse hearing them. Are you saying that you just weren't conscious that there was that?
No, I wasn't conscious to the degree that it said in the emails how many offenses there were. I didn't count everything, and I'm not going to tell you I got up and walked out because I didn't. I would be lying to say that, and maybe I should. And you know, I've been in movies before when I would later think maybe I shouldn't have stayed for that, because it's so hard to see a movie where there's no offensive language. It's so hard to see a movie where there's nothing that offends us as a Christian. That's just really, really hard to do.
Got it. Hey, Brenda, I appreciate you calling so much. Thank you. God bless.
Sure.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A couple of other comments. Dude, Avatar was awesome. This is all in a Facebook discussion that some of our grads and others were having. And I was asked a question about it and been meaning to talk about this movie and Christian liberty. So, again, I want to point out this is a discussion between believers, okay? I'm not ranting and raving and saying, how in the world could anyone ever go see a movie? Oh, my God, the world is coming to an end. I think it's something we need to talk about, though, especially when the question of Christian liberty comes up. Jesus has set us free. That's a great theme of the gospel. In fact, a few days ago, I wrote an article about this that'll be appearing on our Voice of Revolution magazine. So if you don't get our emails, please go to the website today, Ask Dr. Brown. It's askdrbrown.org, and just click to sign up for our email list. This way, as soon as the Voice of Revolution articles come out on holiness, different perspectives on holiness, you'll know about it. You can read this article, and I'll give you some excerpts from my article in a little while. But the question is, what kind of freedom do we have in Jesus? What does it mean to be legalistic? What does it mean to be under a system of do's and don'ts? What does it mean to be judgmental? What does it mean to be stiff and religious? What does it mean to be free in Jesus? I think we all agree that we're free from a dead religious system. We're free from the condemnation of the law. We're free from trying to work harder to somehow earn God's favor. If we understand freedom in Jesus, we should understand those things. We are free from the death that hung over us before we knew the Lord. But do we have liberty to sin or liberty from sin? So here's some more comments. Dude, Avatar was awesome, and I think Jesus would see it. I mean, those visuals would make even Osama bin Laden gasp in amazement. I think everyone should see it because it's awesome. P.S. I did not compare Jesus with bin Laden. I was just making a point. Then someone whose name I recognize wrote, as much as I didn't like the swearing either, this movie should be a challenge to see what we can produce as Christians. I was thinking, what if this sort of technology went into depicting what Ezekiel saw before the throne, or even the battles that David endured? And I guess we would delete the scene with Bathsheba, or even Revelation, the Bible, etc. Okay, let me ask you a question. Just a simple question. Do you think God is impressed with the movie? Do you think God looks at it and is impressed? Or from his heavenly perspective, is this yet another feeble human attempt to create some imagery beyond our normal realm? Well, I'm sure it's part of the creativity that God's put within human beings. But what if, okay, just to think about this argument, and I appreciate this post saying I wasn't comfortable with the swearing. Again, my question, if you're not comfortable with the thing, why do you go to the place? If you're not comfortable with it, where is it written you must see movies? I mean, someone posted, said, look, you're not going to see any movie that doesn't have something offensive. Our last caller just said that you're not going to see any movie that doesn't have some unclean speech or this or that. Where is it written, thou must go to the movies, thou shalt see movies? Where is that written? And is it possible that if our lives are overflowing with Jesus, we just won't even have much of a need or desire to be entertained by the world? All right, we got a whole lot more to talk about. We'll take your calls, emails, comments, and I'll share a whole bunch of mine. Stay with us today on The Line of Fire.
This is the Truth Radio Network.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming away live from Denver, Colorado, where I'm lecturing at Denver Theological Seminary this entire week, doing 5 hours of lectures each night after the radio broadcast and having a blast getting in the Word together with people who love the Word. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. Have you seen the movie Avatar? If so, what did you think of it? It's grossed over $1 billion worldwide. James Cameron, the famous director, director of Titanic, another movie that I didn't see, but I know many did see. Did you see it? What do you think of it if you saw it? Do you regret seeing it? Would you recommend it? If you didn't see it, why did you avoid seeing it? One of my dear friends, Pastor Thant McManus, posted this on Facebook in the midst of a discussion between believers. We're talking about a discussion between believers, people who would say, listen, we're faithful in our marriage, we're living for the Lord, we want to share the gospel with other people, we love the things of the Spirit, we want to see Jesus glorified. We're not talking about people who are attacking the faith and people who are hostile to the faith. We're talking about an in-house discussion, but it stirred things up both ways because some are saying, hey, something's the matter with you if you can't go and enjoy a movie like Avatar, and Jesus himself would enjoy it. And the 3D imagery and all that's absolutely amazing and gives us just an idea of what heaven could be like or what we could produce here as Christians. And Pastor Thant had an interesting comment. I need grace as much as anybody. Only Jesus can deliver me from this body of death. I appreciate the different views about how we walk out our salvation on a personal level. We are free in Christ. Question is, free to do what? Paul wrote to the Galatians, I'm just inserting my comments here, Paul wrote to the Galatians and said that it is for freedom that Christ has set you free, but don't use your freedom as an excuse to indulge the flesh. So Pastor Thant says, in the world and not of it, speaks to the fact that we are going to be around those who blaspheme. We are called to be salt and light to them and to walk in love towards those who are without. Are we called to pay them to entertain us with their sin? Is the entertainment or enlightenment we receive from the world worth sitting through a few GDs, etc.? And his post goes on. Look, some of you came from very legalistic churches, and you're still getting healed from it. And no church believes it's legalistic any more than a church believes it's going too far with sin, in Jesus' name. We all justify our own positions and try to find scripture to back it up. The question is there a real legalism that's deadly? I say absolutely, and the Word warns us against it. I say that legalism is laws without love. It's rules without relationship. It's standards without a Savior. It is externally imposed religion. It is judging people by outward behavior alone. It is trying to get people to change from the outside in by imposing rules and systems on them, many of which are not mentioned in Scripture. You wear a wedding ring? That's jewelry. How dare you do it? Sister, you wash your hair and let it look nice. That is sinful. How dare you? Your dress is not down to the ankles. You're a sinner. And we can often judge based on that and have a very hollow, shallow view of things. And we need to flee legalism. On the other hand, there's something more deadly than legalism, and that is license. And as I've said before, we have liberty from sin, not liberty to sin. Let me just throw some scriptures out to you, and just tell me what you think as you hear these words. Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and live in love just as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But among you, there must not need to be sexual immorality, impurity of any kind, or greed, these are not fitting for the saints. Not even a hint, sexual immorality. Neither should there be vulgar speech, foolish talk, or coarse jesting, all of which are out of character, but rather thanksgiving. For you can be confident of this one thing, that no person who is immoral, impure, or greedy, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Another grad posted an interesting comment. He's currently a missionary in Thailand. He said, doesn't 1 Corinthians 6, 12 to 17 come in here? Where you might say, well, there's not a New Testament law telling me I can't do a particular thing, but Is it edifying? Does it glorify the Lord? Is it constructive? I got a great call a few months ago from a listener, and he said he had come out of a heavy drug background, all this, he had gotten saved. And then after he got rid of some of the obvious junk, he began to wonder what was right, what was wrong. What about other areas of conduct? What about other areas of his life? And the conclusion he came to was reading the Word. I think, if I remember talking to his pastor, in particular through the Word, he saw that there was light and that there was darkness. So he asked himself the question before he did something, before he engaged in certain entertainment, before he conducted certain activities, before he said certain words, is this light or is this darkness? Is this light or is this darkness? Paul writes later in Ephesians 5 and says, find out what pleases the Lord. So I think a big question we need to step back and ask is, Lord, because you set me free from sin and death. And by the way, the biggest thing the New Testament says, we've been set free from is sin. That's why it boggles my mind when people talk about the liberty they have as if it's liberty to sin. Look, I will not judge someone that says, I have a glass of wine with my dinner. I've never gotten drunk in my life. And me having a glass of wine is no different than you having a glass of water. I know there are cultures where that's absolutely true. And I do not believe that the Word of God teaches that it is a sin to have any alcoholic beverage. We'll come back to the question, did Jesus serve wine that got people drunk? And how did he hang out at parties, and did he, and what kind of Jesus we're envisioning? I want to come back to that because that's an interesting subject. But let me say this. The Word clearly speaks against drunkenness. If you came from perhaps a legalistic setting where even having wine at a Passover meal was considered sin, and now you say, hey, look, I'm part of a Messianic Jewish congregation, and we have wine in our Passover meals, our Sabbath service, and no one ever gets drunk, and there's not enough wine to get you drunk, and I don't have a problem with alcohol, hey, God bless you. I don't have an issue with that. If you're in our school of ministry, we ask you to abstain in the years that you're here, just as a policy that we have among many other disciplines for our students. But I'm not going to judge someone or argue with someone. I work with missionary friends in other parts of the world. They'll sit down at a meal and have a glass of wine, and the idea of drunkenness is as far from them as the idea of going out and killing someone. And I have other friends that say you abstain always. Period. It's my personal policy to totally abstain. I think all leaders should totally abstain. For many reasons, I think it's important, for example, to the world, etc. However, if you say, hey, look, man, I was in this uptight congregation, and now I'm part of this congregation where we have wine in our Passover service or wine at communion, hey, God bless you. But if you're going to tell me now that it's okay to drink wine for the pleasure of drinking wine, get a little tipsy, and maybe even have a little bit too much, kind of calm your nerves with this, and maybe get a little high, no, you don't have that liberty. Jesus has set you free from sin, not set you free to sin, and alcoholism, and more simply, drunkenness is everywhere condemned in the Word and spoken against plainly in the New Testament, that if someone claims to be a brother and is a drunkard, if they won't repent, you disfellowship them. So the liberty we have is a liberty from sin, not to sin. All right, a whole lot more to talk about. Stay with us. We will be right back. Joining us today on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown, coming away all this week live from Denver, Colorado, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at AskDrBrown.org. We're talking about the movie Avatar, best-selling movie, one of the best-selling movies of all time, with apparently the most stunning visual graphics that any movie's ever seen, produced by James Cameron, or directed by James Cameron. So it's created a lively discussion among believers whether it should be seen or not. It does have some profanity in it. The whole worldview of it is quite pantheistic and wrong. Nonetheless, should Christians see it or not? Alfred writes in and says, I don't think every Christian needs to see the movie, but those who are mature and discerning should, in order to be able to relate the subtle messages. I plan on seeing it just because of what I've heard, so that I may be able to make some type of defense. I appreciate that perspective, Alfred. It is my personal belief that most movies today are not what I would call Christian entertainment. We must learn to go beyond special effects and such and learn to go deeper. So that being said, I do believe we need to have some discerning people see the movie in order to at least prepare or warn those who are willing to go see. Remember, Paul said that all things are lawful, but he would not be made a slave of any. Now, of course, Alfred, thanks for sending that in. Where Paul says to the Corinthians, all things are lawful, yeah, but not everything edifies, all things are lawful, but I won't be brought under the power of any. Most commentators understand that the words all things are lawful is a quote from the Corinthians, and he is countering some of their mentality in his response. Sound Reason, their website, there's a quick evaluation of Avatar by Doug. First, wow. Amazing visuals, just absolutely beautiful, especially the 3D IMAX version. Second, wow, however you pronounce that. The above-mentioned visuals are pretty much the only reason to see the film. Propaganda. Avatar's storyline is about as politically propagandish as it can get, with obvious references to the eco-liberal, fear-mongering, leftist agenda, capitalists and military equals evil, murdering environment haters, while Aboriginal natives equals peaceful, spiritual-loving beings that live in complete harmony with nature. The characters are pretty much cardboard cutouts, not good for much more than propagating the popular noble, savage, and evil capitalist military myths. There's not a modicum of even-handedness in the story's approach, and the lines are so hyperbolically drawn that anyone with a crumb of moral sense is forced into choosing sides. Worldview-wise, it's a mess. Avatar presents us with a new-age, nature-loving, Eastern mysticism mixture. All is one, life is energy flow, mother planet, blah, blah, blah. So it's basically pop pantheism couched in quasi-scientific terms. The philosophers think emergent property theory applied to an entire planet. And in some chanting, dance, or rituals, and you get the picture. Add in some rituals, you get the picture. Bottom line, Avatar's story is seriously flawed, both artistically, politically, and theologically. But hey, it's James Cameron. He's not exactly known for his political subtlety or theological acumen. Avatar is visually beautiful with cool animals, amazing scenery, and robots that blow stuff up. What more besides truth could you want? All right, here's what I want you to reflect on. The world is everywhere around us seeking to pollute us. It always has been in every generation. James 1, true religion is characterized as this: visiting the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keeping oneself unspotted in the world. I just want to present questions for you, okay? I'm not judging whether you love Jesus or not. I'm not sitting here as holier than thou. You may be far more devoted to the Lord in certain areas than I am, okay? I'm simply talking to you as a friend, as a brother, as a leader, and to some as a father in the faith through the years. But just something to chew on. When we subject ourselves to certain entertainment, does that defile us? Are there images? Is there power in it? And the words, the expression, the worldview, does that defile us? Does it make it easier for us to become more defiled? Does it desensitize us, become more sensitive to the heart and mind of the Lord? Is it light or is it darkness? Just another question for you. Let's say I would not knowingly go to a movie that had, say, nudity or sexual scenes or gratuitous violence or profanity and sit there and be entertained. And if I was there and that stuff was going on, obviously I'd walk out. You say, that's legalism. Well, why is it legalism where I draw the line? But I'm sure you wouldn't go and see pornography as a Christian. And you wouldn't go see some anti-God movie that was completely blaspheming Jesus from beginning to end and had all types of horrific F-words from beginning to end. I can't imagine you'd call yourself a Christian and think of going there. Well, why is it legalism where I draw the line but not where you draw the line? Why are you free to do certain things that are bad but not so bad, but not free to do the really, really bad things? I want to emphasize again. The liberty we have in Jesus is liberty from sin, not to sin. Look, when you're set free from prison and they take the shackles off your arms, you don't say, praise God, I can go back into that filthy prison, have them put those shackles back on me, and be a prisoner again because, hey, I'm free. All right, we're going to talk about Jesus and the party life when we come back. Stay with us.
God of light, hear our cry.
All right, this is a discussion we're going to have to continue on another day. We've talked about this in the past, Christians, movies, entertainment, etc. But I want to bring some thoughts to a head here. 866-34-TRUTH. Maybe I'll grab another call. Best thing, though, is drop me a line. Email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. We've been talking about the movie Avatar. Should Christians go see it? Now, from my take as an outsider to the movie industry, but my guess is that technology like this is going to become more and more common. I just read that 3D TV could well be the thing that hits in 2010, just like high-def TV hit recently, flat-screen TV and all this, that the 3D TV is going to be more and more common. So my guess is that what we're seeing in kind of a path-breaking thing with James Cameron's Avatar is going to become more and more common. Would you go see it if it was even more blatantly unclean? Look, I'm just asking questions here, okay? I'm not telling you what you should and shouldn't do. That's between you and the Lord and your own walk with the Lord, and there are plenty of other major things to talk about and focus on. But I have a concern where people criticize those that before the Lord are uncomfortable with profanity, before the Lord are uncomfortable with ungodly worldviews, before the Lord are uncomfortable with nudity and sex scenes and so on and so forth, whatever else occurs in so much in the movies these days, it desensitizes, it's grievous. Passage after passage in the New Testament tells us to cleanse ourselves from everything that defiles. Here, think about this. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 on to chapter 7, verse 1, tell us to come out from the world, to be separate, that God will receive us. What does it mean to be separate? Separate from what? Separate from the sin of the world. We go into the world as far as relationship. We go into the world to reach people with the gospel. We go into a world filled with profanity and immorality and ungodliness to share the gospel and to reach people and to love on them and to help them. But we come out of the world as far as sin is concerned. We've got to understand that. That's fundamental. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these promises that we're sons and daughters of God, what should that therefore do? I'm just quoting the life-giving word. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that pollutes body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Take that section, 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 7:1, and when you're really intimate with the Lord, meeting with him, pray about it, talk to him about it, ask him what it means. I'm just leaving that between you and the Lord. Now, the idea that Jesus was this party animal, the fact is, he hung out with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, etc. What did he do? Did he party with them? Was he the big joke teller? We have no indication of that, but we do know that people were changed by his presence. We do know that Luke 7, when a sinful woman comes into his presence at the Pharisee's home, she's weeping and repenting and kissing his feet. And when he goes into the home of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, in Luke 19, that Zacchaeus is repenting and restoring stolen goods, etc., etc., wanting to honor the Lord from that day forth, because the presence of God brings that holy, wonderful conviction that doesn't endorse our sin, but convicts us of sin so that we can be liberated and free and the beauty and purity and wonder and splendor of our God. And that's the wonderful, extraordinary stuff, isn't it? Even Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana, of course, it was a sign and a wonder, but just do a little study on it. You'll be quick to see that Jewish teachers of that day did not approve of drunkenness. That the wine that would be drunk is quite a diluted wine, and that Jesus was not supplying them with wine to get drunk for 7 days. Drunkenness is everywhere spoken against in the Scripture, Old and New Testament, as destructive and contrary to God's design for us. I think we just need to step back and evaluate some things before the Lord, not throwing stones at each other, hearing one another out, listening to one another, and trying to get to the heart of the matter. But I ask you, your heart of heart before the Lord, to find out, does this please the Lord? Does this glorify Jesus? Whatever the behavior, whatever the entertainment is it light? Is it darkness? Does it make me more sensitive to my master, draw me closer to him, or is it of the world and the flesh? All right, friends, we will be with you tomorrow. You have an awesome day in Jesus.
This is the Truth Radio Network.